is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, chapter 2, we are continuing our series on the seven churches of Revelation. As we learned before, these are seven literal churches found in ancient Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. These are seven literal churches that had seven literal experiences. These particular churches also typify seven different Christians with seven different experiences. For example, we have the Church of Ephesus, the backslidden church, the church that left its first love. And we have the backslidden Christian, the Christian that leaves its first love. And we have the Church of Smyrna. This is the poor and faithful church that suffers. And we have the Christian, the poor and faithful Christian that suffers. And we have the Church of Pergamos. This is the worldly church, the church that's married to the world, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church. And we have the worldly Christian, a Christian trying to serve the Lord, and a Christian trying to serve the lust of the world. And we have the church of Thyatira. This is the church with too many works that led to an apostasy or a great falling away. And we have the Christian that's too busy with the wrong motive, too many works that leads to apostasy and a great falling away. And we have the Church of Sardis. This is the dead church, or what we would call the frozen chosen. This is also an example of the dead Christian, spiritually dead in the church, cut off from fellowship with the Lord. And we have the Church of Philadelphia. This is the church with the open door. This is the outreach church. This is a church with great missionary works that supports the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the open door Christian, missionary Christian, the outreach Christian, the Christian with the open door, and the Christian that supports the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And lastly, we have the Church of Laodicea. This is the lukewarm church, the blasé church, the indifferent church, the que sera sera church, the church that's lukewarm. And we have the Christian that's blasé, the Christian that becomes indifferent, comfortable, the Christian that becomes que sera sera and becomes lukewarm. These seven churches, as you see in your Bible, are also in the red letter version, Jesus Christ speaking in the first person. Let's begin today with the Church of Smyrna, chapter 2 of Revelation, verses 8 through 11. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the Church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall come and cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." This is the Church of Smyrna. This is the church that's characterized by being the poor and faithful church that suffers. This is the church with no condemnation. This is a church with only commendation for their good works and their love of God. Verse 8 says, "Unto the angel of the Church of Smyrna write, This angel is the human messenger, the pastor of the local church." This is not a literal angel, for angels are not overseers of the local church. Pastors, human pastors, are the overseers or the shepherds of local churches. And Jesus Christ is speaking in the first person, red letter version in some Bibles, speaking to the local pastor to speak to the congregation by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Continuing, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every epistle, at the beginning of every epistle, Jesus Christ identifies himself in biblical language, the first and last. You'll find this in chapter 1 of verse 8 and 17, identifying this person as Jesus Christ speaking. Verse 8 of chapter 1 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. This is speaking of the eternity of Jesus Christ. This is speaking of Him being from the beginning, Him being the Creator, Him being God Himself. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This is the divine Trinity. The three are one, and the one are three. And Jesus Christ was not created, He is the Creator. Also in verse 17, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, prostrate. This is John speaking, and He laid His right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse 17 says, I am the first and the last. This is speaking to Jesus Christ being before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the Creator. He made all things, and He is the last. All things are made for Him. He is King of Kings. So He is before all things, the Creator, and He is the last. All things were made for Him. He is King of Kings, Creator, King of Kings, first as Creator, last as Inheritor, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Verse 18 of Revelation, I am He that liveth, resurrection, and was dead, crucifixion, and behold, I am alive forevermore, ascension. This is speaking to the threefold exaltation, glorification, celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, He was raised from the dead, and He lives evermore to make intercession for us. Verse number 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. This is speaking to God seeing the motives of the hearts. I know thy works. The Bible says that God looketh on the heart, 1 Samuel 16. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in the earth. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good, Proverbs 15. It says here, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. The Bible says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We are called to suffer. However, there is a righteous way to suffer, and there is an unrighteous way to suffer. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about that. Verse 15, it says, But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. There is a righteous, guilt-free kind of suffering that when we are despised and persecuted for the cause of Christ, we identify our similar sufferings to that of Jesus Christ. Him being rejected for living holy. We being rejected for living holy. Him being rejected for being the Son of God. And for showing the kingdom of God, we being rejected and persecuted for showing love and the kingdom of God. We want to have righteous suffering, suffering that's guilt-free, suffering that brings glory to God, suffering for doing that which is right in a wrong world. in contrast to suffering because we brought the trouble on ourselves. Also with suffering, suffering has a strategy to it. Suffering brings out the character in us. Suffering brings out more prayer in us. In other words, when we suffer, either we run from the suffering or we bow our knee and draw strength from God to dig in and to pray for those that despitefully use us and to show the love of God by blessing our enemies and loving our enemies and doing good to our enemies. Suffering will bring out the character in us, Christian character, that God is trying to mold in us. James chapter 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So when that heat is turned up of the persecution, God is trying to work in patience out of us and patience in us. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. When the heat is turned up, God is trying to work anger out of us and work the love of God in us. When the heat is turned up, God is trying to work complaining out of us and praying to God in us. God is trying to work a work of purging through the heat of the fire to burn off all those things that are not of Him and to build character in Christ that glorifies Him. Back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. "And I know thy poverty, but thou art rich." There are things in this world that money cannot buy, and the church of Smyrna was commendated for the things that money cannot buy. Poverty. In the natural, they may not have the material things of this world. They are poor materially, but rich spiritually. Same thing with us as Christians. We may not have the riches of this world, but yet we have the riches of God. And if we may have the material things that God has blessed us with, there are still things that money cannot buy. Money may buy a bed, but money does not buy a good night's sleep. Money may buy a house, but money will not buy a home. There are some things worth more than all the gold in the world, and that's the love of God. And that's the mercy of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, everlasting life through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of God, the healing of God. There are some things that money cannot buy. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 10, "As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." The universe and beyond is ours through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also." So our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, has waiting for us streets of gold, pearly gates, and a mansion. Everlasting life, everlasting joy, everlasting peace through Jesus Christ. The things that money cannot buy. Back to Revelation chapter 2. "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Who is this synagogue of Satan? This was a local sect that called themselves Jews, but were not worshiping the same God that the Christians worshiped, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of God, Emmanuel, God with us. This was a local sect that called themselves Jews, but were actually the synagogue of Satan because they did not believe in the one true God. There are individuals today with labels that may sound Christian, that may profess themselves to be Christian, but with their doctrine of belief that's contrary to the Bible, they are the synagogue of Satan because they have false doctrine, false beliefs that will cause you to go astray. Anyone that does not believe in the tenets and the foundation of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Bible is the synagogue of Satan. Any church, any sect, any denomination that does not believe in the true tenets of the Bible is the synagogue of Satan. For example, to call ourselves a Christian, we must believe in the virgin birth, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe that He is the only way to salvation. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. True Christianity is believing that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. True Christianity is believing that the Bible is the inherent, infallible, complete Word of God. True Christianity is believing that Jesus Christ will come again and receive the church unto Himself. True Christianity is believing that Jesus Christ is 100% man, 100% God, sinless God in the flesh. There are biblical tenets that we as Christians hold to that get past the label of just being called a Christian. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." God has given us the Holy Spirit, not to judge and condemn, but to discern, but to judge in terms of the validity of the individual that calls themselves a Christian. Why? Because many false prophets are out in the world and many are being led astray. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know them by their fruit." Verse number 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." This is encouragement from Jesus Christ, saying, "Fear not, for you will suffer. Fear not, because if God be for you, who can be against you? Fear not, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Fear not, because I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me." Notice how Jesus Christ says, "The devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye may be tried." Notice how Jesus Christ attributes the suffering to the devil, this persecution to the devil. Many times God is getting the blame for the bad things that are happening in this world, and it is causing many people not to believe in God. For example, individuals say, "If there's a righteous and true and just God, why did my baby have to die? If there's a righteous and true God, why do disasters happen? If there's a righteous and true God, why is there cancer and disease and the sadness of this world?" Well, it is because this is a fallen world, a world that was created perfect by God back in Genesis, but Adam and Eve, through disobedience, allowed the enemy to come in, and they given up their authority to the enemy by being disobedient, and the enemy, the devil himself, came in and brought in the darkness of his character, the darkness of his heart. He brought in the darkness of disease. He created a fallen world, and God is unrighteously being attributed to all the negative things that are happening in this world. But God, in His righteous justice and righteous judgment, will make all things right. He is long-suffering right now because He's allowing every individual to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the invitation to everlasting life, and to have the choice to bow their knee and receive everlasting life outside of this world in heaven. And one day, when that invitation is gone, this world will be transformed back to the perfection that it was meant to have. So God is giving everyone an opportunity to escape this world and receive everlasting life through Jesus Christ, as He will judge sin and judge the devil and cast the devil into the lake of fire. It says here, ye shall have tribulation 10 days. This speaks of completion. This speaks of a fullness. 10 is the number of completion. 10 is a number of fullness. This is speaking of the fullness of this particular persecution. 10 times. This is also speaking of perhaps 10 time periods. This is also speaking in perhaps the 10 years of persecution under the Roman Emperor Diocletian. But more accurately, this is speaking to a literal completion of their tribulation. 10 days, the fullness of their tribulation, the completion of their tribulation being 10 days. It says here, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Crowns are promised to us as believers. Crowns are our rewards of being faithful. It's one thing to have faith. It's something else to be faithful. Holding on to the end. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. At the end of Paul's ministry, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Yes, there is a crown waiting for us if we endure. Back to Revelation chapter 2, last verse, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here we have the Holy Spirit speaking to every believer in the heart of every unbeliever. Here we have the Holy Spirit speaking to every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth through conviction, through illumination, speaking through nature that God is a loving God, a kind God, and through Jesus Christ is salvation. Here we have the Holy Spirit drawing everyone. The Bible says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Holy Spirit is convicting and drawing every individual to bow their knee and give their life to Christ. Jesus Christ is speaking to every individual through the Scriptures. God is speaking through His Word, through the Scriptures, that there's everlasting life in Jesus Christ. God is speaking through the sermon. God is speaking through a tract. God is speaking through a witness. God is speaking through the light the Christian shows. God is speaking through the acts of kindness in the name of Christ. God is speaking through the missionary on the missionary field. God is speaking through nature. God is speaking to every man, woman, and child to come to Christ and receive everlasting life. Lastly, it says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is this second death promised to them that overcome? Revelation chapter 20 tells us that in verse number 6 and verse number 14. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, that's the rapture. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is the 1,000-year reign on earth called the millennial reign, where the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ shall reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years before we go on unto heaven with him. In the last days, when the rapture hits, we are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Then at the second coming of Christ, when he returns to the earth at the end of Armageddon, we are going to come back with him to put down all evil and to reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years, we are going to live with him forever back in heaven. And we are saved from this second death. What is this second death? verse 14, chapter 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death, no more death. Hell, no more holding place or place of torment after unbelievers die. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. That's everlasting separation from God. That's everlasting perdition. That's everlasting suffering for those who refuse to receive the love of God and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's for those who choose during this time frame while they have breath in their body to be separate from God and say, I do not want to believe in God or accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to be separate from God. And God, being a just God, will allow that individual to receive just what they want, and that is everlasting separation from God. If they choose to be separate from God and do not want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior while they have a chance on this earth, then they will reap what they sow and be forever separated from God in the lake of fire. We as believers that overcome to the end will be promised to have victory over this second death or the lake of fire. It's been said by a very wise individual that if I am born twice, then I die once. If I'm born once, I'll die twice. For example, if I'm born twice, if I'm born physically through the womb, and then I'm born again spiritually, then I will die just once and be with Jesus Christ. But if I am born just once in the womb, then I will die twice. I will die physically, and then I will die or be separated through the second death, the lake of fire. If I'm born twice, I'll die just once. If I'm born once, I'll die twice. And on today, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Pray with me this prayer. This prayer will change your life. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.